Northern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the Chainine Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
It's time for some news for Northern Colorado. It is no secret that COVID numbers continue to climb here in the state. They continue to make things very interesting on what the correct approach is going to be going forward. Before we get into the story, just want to put this out there that as of Monday, the hospitalizations across the state dipped a little bit. Case growth showing signs of slowing. This from Chris Vanderveen of Nine News. One-day positivity is very high. Hospitalizations for COVID plus only is down 29. It's at 1,431 people hospitalized in the state. That's down 29 from last week at the same time. Available ICU beds across the state, only 94 available at this point. The cases, 7A, near 2,700, which is down about 400. It's been over 3,100 lately. The positivity, 7A, near 10%. One day, low testing numbers on Sunday, 13.44%, highest one-day count since late 2020. Monday numbers, Chris continues on to say, Monday numbers can be a bit funky. Let's see how tomorrow shakes out. That's where we sit right now with some of the COVID numbers out there. But some Colorado hospitals are being forced to postpone elective surgeries. They're postponing these surgeries in the face of the rise in COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations. As of Friday, 94% of all ICU beds in the state were full. UC Health says 90% of its hospitalized patients are unvaccinated with this. You know, I want to make this clear. I want to make this very clear. I have said it before, and I'll say it again. I am unvaccinated. I'll say it. There's a lot of things that went into that decision, continue to go into my decision. And if you don't think I'm monitoring what's going on, you're wrong. I do watch very closely what this does. My fears, and again, warranted or not, this is what my fears are, just because there's not a long-term case study done about fertility and sterility about this. There's not that out there. Also, I know that at this point, if I did contract COVID again, because I have had it, I know that I'm going to be okay. But if I was in the age group where, you know, the thought of starting a family and stuff like that had passed and everything of that nature, and if I was older, if I had any of these, if I was immunocompromised, I think getting the vaccine is an absolutely very good idea for you. I do think that this vaccine is not what it was made out to be, about the savior of all this. But this vaccine is really, really damn good at doing one thing, and that is preventing you from dying from COVID-19. And that's what the end goal is. We can live with the sickness and stuff like that, but the end goal is to reduce the people who are lying on their deathbeds because of this. The numbers don't lie. They can be interpreted and spun a number of different ways. And that happens. People rig data. But 90% of the people in the hospital with COVID-19 are unvaccinated. That still means this virus has a little bit more punch to it, this Delta variant, right, that we talk about. And I hate how it's all been put forth. I wish we could have real conversations like we just did. Here's where I'm at. Here's where I think that, you know, I would advise. I'm not a doctor. Hell, I'm not a doctor at all. But from following this and watching the numbers and talking with people smarter than me, if I'm immunocompromised, if I'm in my late 40s to even 50s and up, I'm getting vaccinated. There have been people who have had this shot in their arm for over a year now. There have been no mass side effects. There's going to be a couple every once in a while. That's just how viruses work. That's how vaccines work. There's going to be small side effects about, you're probably not going to feel good when you get it. But for people who are immunocompromised in that demographic that I talked about, I think it's a very good idea. And I think that helps, the hospitals being forced to postpone elective surgeries. Is COVID a big part of the issue why these hospitals and ICU beds are full? Yeah, it's a part of it. It's a part of it. It's not the only reason. And I'm not naive to say, well, it's just COVID that's running rampant, this or that. No, it's not. But when you have 1,400 people hospitalized with it right now across the state, that's a large part, especially when you talk about nurses and that whole debacle about whether they had to be vaccinated or not and this. Yeah, it's not all on COVID, but it's a part of it. It's a part of it. Continuing on news for Northern Colorado. If you caught any of the show with Mornings with Gale, if you didn't catch it, I think you need to go back and listen to it. As State Senator Barbara Kirchmeier was on the program this morning. Former Weld County Commissioner and State Senator Barb Kirchmeier is running for U.S. House. Kirchmeier wants the state's new 8th congressional district seat that spans from Greeley into northeast Denver. This comes a week after Lori Sane announced that she was running for it. Lori Sane is a current Weld County Commissioner. When you stack the two against each other, Kirchmeier has the experience. She's got the higher ranking. We'll see what happens. The Republican plans to unveil her Renew America plan in the coming months that she says will be the cornerstone of her campaign. Kirchmeier is the second Republican with a political past to jump in the race. Lori Sane announced her intention to run for the seat earlier this month. On the Democratic side, State Representative Yadira Caravillo of Thornton is running along with Adams County Commissioner Chaz Tedesco. So you've got four people in the race right now. This is going to be hotly contested. The money pouring into this and how close people watch this seat is going to be astronomical. It's going to be a huge one because this could completely, not completely, but this would be a huge win for Republicans in the state of Colorado if they can win this seat. The balance of power shifts back to about neutral. And that's the first step. We've talked a lot on this program. What is the Republicans' plan? How are the Republicans in the state of Colorado going to jump forward? How are they going to be honest, I think it's candidates like Barbara Kirchmeier. She hasn't been in the headlines for anything extraordinarily dumb. She hasn't been, tightly connected with Trump, whatever it has been. She kind of fits that mold, in my opinion, of somebody that I think is electable in the state of Colorado. And hell, she proved it when she won the Senate seat. So I think Barbara Kirchmeier is going to be the biggest competitor for any of the Democrats running for that 8th congressional district. But when you talk about from Greeley into northeast Denver, that is a very diverse crowd. This vote is going to be razor thin. The margin is going to be razor thin when this comes up. We'll see what happens, but Barbara Kirchmeier, former Weld County Commissioner, has thrown her hat in the ring for that seat. Terrible news happening yesterday. 6 teens shot near Aurora Central High School. They were in a park near the high school. It happened around a lunchtime at Nome Park near Nome Street and 12th Avenue. All 6 teens who are students at Aurora Central were hospitalized. One of the teens were reportedly in critical condition. Aurora Police Chief Vanessa Wilson expressed outrage at the shooting as she appealed to the public for help. She says the shooting may have been a drive-by along with suspects on foot. She says a number of different types of weapons were used in this school. In the shooting that happened. And it's terrible. It is terrible. And there's not a whole lot of explanations why or what it was. All of the victims are between the ages of 14 and 18. They're students at Aurora Central High School. Again, Wilson asked residents with photos, videos, or information to come forward so they can find the suspects involved. She said the shooting may have been a drive-by, and there may have been suspects on foot, like we just said. The chief said multiple calibers of weapons were used. Henry Martinez, who lives across the street from the park, said he heard at least 30 gunshots. I'm a little shook by about this, Martinez said. It's scary hearing that many gunshots going off right in front of your house. It's terrifying. And who they were targeted against. The names are not being released, but police identified them as a 14-year-old boy, a 15-year-old girl, a 16-year-old boy, a 16-year-old girl, a 17-year-old boy, and an 18-year-old man. UC Health said they received two of the patients but did not provide their ages or conditions. The 18-year-old took himself to the hospital. He had minor injuries, according to the police. The shooting did not happen on school grounds, but Aurora Central High School put in a secure perimeter. The high school will be open on a regular schedule Tuesday, but there will be extra security. Aurora Public School said they will provide mental health professionals to ensure students have the resources they need to try and make sense of what happened. Why would you have school the next day? To me, that seems pretty simple to have a day off. You just saw six high school students get shot. That story from 1310KFK.com as well as 9news.com as we're working for news for Northern Colorado. Let's see here. Last story for news for NOCO here. On Tuesday morning on NOCO Now, Fort Collins police investigate stabbing and a robbery. This is a bizarre story. Fort Collins police are investigating stabbing in a natural area. Officers were called to Kingfisher Natural Area near the Poudre River Wednesday night. There, the Coloradoan reports a 23-year-old man says he was hanging out under the bridge, which is weird in and of itself, when an unknown man stole his wallet and stabbed him. He was hospitalized with serious injuries, but has since been released. More details available on the Coloradoan.com. It's a very, very bizarre story. I'm sure that there's going to be more coming out of that. That's news for Northern Colorado for you. I want to say thanks to Proactive Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine, locations in Eaton and in Greeley. Whatever that surgery is that you have to get taken care of, it's not like just the surgery happens and then you're like, boom, bam, back, better than ever. That's not how it works. You got to put in the work afterwards with trained physical therapists that use top-of-the-line medicine to get you healed. It's Proactive Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. More online at ProactiveColorado.com. 1018 the time. Let's get a break. We'll come back on the other side. Some national news coming your way before we talk with Chris Wood, editor and publisher with Biz West, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Get up, shower, shave, mouthwash, toothpaste, paper cup, and rinse. Well, deliberations on one of the most watched cases in the country have started for the jurors of the Kyle Rittenhouse murder trial. Welcome back into NOCO Now. I'm Tanner Schwint, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. The jury began deliberating today after dueling portrayals of him as a wannabe soldier who went looking for the trouble or a concerned citizen who came under attack while trying to protect property. The case went to the anonymous 12-member jury after Rittenhouse himself, in an unusual move, was allowed by the judge to draw the numbered slips of paper from a raffle drum that determined which of the 18 people who sat in judgment during the trial would decide his fate and which ones would be dismissed as alternates. That task is usually done by a courtroom clerk, not the defendant. Why do we care who draws the numbers? I don't think it matters. Rittenhouse faces life in prison if convicted as charged for using an AR-style semi-automatic rifle to kill two men and wound a third during a night of protests against racial... it wasn't a protest. It was a riot. Let's get this right, AP News. It was not a night of protest. It was a riot that had happened in Kenosha in the summer of 2020. The former police youth cadet is white, as were those he shot. Just so you know, AP News felt the need to put that in there. The question, though, is not, I don't believe the question should be whether or not he should have been there. I don't think that he should have been there. I personally do not. I don't think you should have crossed the state line, and I know it wasn't like a long drive, I believe about 20 minutes away. I don't think you should have crossed state lines and went into that area knowing what was going on. I don't. Could I understand it a little bit? Sure. Sure I could. I don't think you should have been there, though. I don't think you should have been there. But in my mind, that's not what matters here. Was it murder or was it self-defense? That's the question. And in my estimation, again, and I'm not a lawyer, but in my estimation, again, they have proven without a doubt that it was self-defense. When you have one of the prosecution's star witnesses on the stand saying that no, Rittenhouse did not shoot at him until he raised his gun at him, until the person who got shot raised his gun at him. Isn't that literally the definition of self-defense? Rittenhouse testified he acted in self-defense after coming under attack. While prosecutors argued he instigated the bloodshed, the case has become a flashpoint in the U.S. debate over guns, protest, vigilantism, and law and order. By the way, AP News wants you to know that the jury appears to be overwhelmingly white, just in case you were wondering about that as well. It's race, Angel. It's got to be in everything. Don't you know that? Don't you know that we have to know the skin color of everybody?
Yeah, I don't think I was taught that lesson in journalism class.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. And we have become so much... We've been so quick to point the race card that we truly do forget that we're all one people. This race card being thrown at every possible scenario is absurd. It's absurd to me. And it's drawing a deeper wedge in between us. With a verdict near, Governor Tony Evers said that 500 National Guard members would stand ready for duty in Kenosha if needed. During closing arguments Monday, prosecutor Thomas Binger argued that Rittenhouse set the deadly chain of events in motion by bringing a semi-automatic rifle to a protest, it was a riot, and menacing others, then walked off like a hero in a Western. That young man was scared for his life. That was a dumb, irrational decision he made to go there. But he was terrified. He was terrified. But Rittenhouse lawyer Mark Richards countered that Rittenhouse was ambushed by a quote-unquote crazy person he feared would wrestle away his gun and use it to kill him. Rittenhouse was then 17, had gone to Kenosha from his home in Illinois, crossed the border in what he said was an effort to protect property from rioters in the days after Jacob Blake was shot by a white Kenosha police officer. Binger said Rittenhouse was looking for trouble that night, and he repeatedly showed the jury drone video that he said depicted Rittenhouse pointing his weapon at demonstrators. This case, I can't wait for it to be over. Been so hotly contested. You got thoughts on it? You can weigh in, 970-353-1310, 970-353-1310. You can text us at 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. In making his case for self-defense on the witness stand, Rittenhouse said that Rosenbaum, who was one of the people who he did kill, chased him down and made a grab for his rifle. Testimony largely corroborated by video and some of the prosecution's own witnesses. That should be enough right there. As for Anthony Huber, the other man that was shot, He was gunned down after he was seen on video hitting Rittenhouse with a skateboard. Engage Grosskreutz. He survived. He had his own gun pointed at Rittenhouse when he was shot. Tell me how that's not self-defense. I agree, and this is the thing. Like, this is why I thought that maybe, okay, being in possession of that weapon across state lines might be the thing that could net a conviction for him, not the murder charges. I don't think they stand a chance with the murder charges. I personally don't. Because that's not what is really in question right here. It's very clear that what he did was in self-defense. The thing that they are trying to point at is whether or not he should have been there. That's a very real question. But the events that happened while they were there, while Rittenhouse was in Kenosha, was self-defense. 10:31 the time. Futurity First Insurance Group, Doug O'Connell, Jay Schmidt. They've been in Northern Colorado for 35 years. They take the risk out of, well, a lot of things for you. When is the right time to pull that Social Security funding? When do you know, okay, that's the right amount to retire at? Yeah, you can do all the research you want, but somebody like these two gentlemen, having 35 years experience here in Northern Colorado, yeah, I'll take their knowledge. It's Doug O'Connell, Jay Schmidt with Futurity First Insurance Group. 10:31 the time. We've got Chris Wood, editor and publisher with BizWest, coming up next. But first, let's get to the bottom of the hour news and weather center. Got a texter chiming in as we were talking about the shooting in Aurora yesterday, saying Aurora Central High School may have considered it a safe place for the students to be. Not sure of the population they serve there, but I'm guessing it would truly be in the students' best interest to have somewhere to go. And that's a good point. That's one that I hadn't considered either. You know, I don't know what the demographics are or anything like that, but having everybody in a spot that is some sense of normalcy after something like that could be that's a very logical point. So thank you so much for chiming in there. Again, you can text in as well at 888-530-0043. Joining me now up on the hotline, it is the editor with BizWest. It is Chris Wood joining us, our CRP 4x4 VIP guest. Chris, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, Tanner. Although, you know, I'm going through a little bit of withdrawals. We don't have any Northern Colorado Regional Airport news this morning to report. So,
I thought you were just going to say that you didn't have any of those Northern Colorado beer conferences that you were going to for a couple of weeks there. That's what
I do have a beer story to talk about today. But,
yes.
I have not had a beer conference, a beer roundtable for a while.
So, hey, let's.
There are withdrawals associated with that as well.
Let's open with that story. This was huge that broke last week. We talked about it on Brew Talk, but New Belgium and Bell's Brewery merging together now. This is a huge merger.
Yeah, it really is. You know, New Belgium was acquired back in 2019 by Lion Little World Beverages out of Australia. That brewery is actually owned out of Japan, if you go up the ladder. But now Bell's Brewery out of Michigan has also been acquired by Lion Little World, and they're presenting this as a merger with New Belgium. However, both brands will really function in part separately. They'll maintain their brands, maintain their different brews, and you'll see Fat Tire on the same shelf as some of the Bell's Brewery brands. So, pretty significant deal for New Belgium, but also Bell's Brewery and Lion Little World.
Yeah, and Lion Little World, what I thought was interesting, you know, we talked about it back in 2019 when New Belgium was acquired by them, that I thought that, okay, what are they going to, leave New Belgium alone? Are they going to change anything? I think the smartest thing they did is they kind of left them alone. They left that local feel still there because that's important in the craft beer world.
It's essential. I think it's one of the critical ingredients for a craft brewery to be successful is to have that local connection and that story to tell. And they have really seemed to have left them alone and let them operate. You know, this is a very significant deal. New Belgium produced about 975,000 barrels of beer last year. And, of course, that was in Fort Collins and Asheville, and they have other operations in Denver and San Francisco. Bell's produced more than 466,000 barrels. So this really brings the combined company up on the scale, up on the rankings of breweries, brewing operations nationwide.
It does. And I mean, you're talking about people like Anheuser-Busch that they're going to start competing with now. And with that big of a merger, you got to wonder what the impacts will be and if they will kind of leave Bell's alone. I think this is a bigger impact on Bell's, as they're not quite as big as what New Belgium has been.
Right. And it is interesting and probably smart of them that they are essentially leaving them alone, although the founder of Bell's is retiring. Some of the other executives will remain with the company in prominent roles. But you will see, you know, Fat Tire alongside the Two-Hearted Ale for Bell's and Oberon Ale. And I actually had not tried their Amber Ale, but I tried that the other day, and that's a very nice nice beer as well. So yeah, I did get some beer news in here. Tanner,
I appreciate it. Yeah, did you notice that this might be the story that I know the most about that we've talked about in our you know, 6 months of doing this, Chris?
That's great. Well, that says a lot about you, Tanner.
I think it does. I don't think it's anything new to my listeners that I enjoy a nice beer every once in a while. Chris Wood, editor and publisher with BizWest, joining me now. Okay, let's jump to UNC now. This was something that Dr. President Andy Feinstein was talking about. There's a new medical school coming in.
That's right. They've been talking about this for a while, but UNC has decided to kind of take that next step and establish an osteopathic medical school on the Greeley campus. This is a very significant step for UNC and for Greeley. This will be about $135 million school to get it up and running. A lot of that will come from external sources, such as philanthropic support. But they've got a lot of hurdles to jump through in terms of accreditation and other approvals that are necessary. But they expect to have their first class of students in the fall of 2025. So as I say, there are some steps that still have to be taken, but they are moving forward with this new medical school at UNC.
Is there going to be new buildings going up? Is this going to be going into one of the previously standing buildings?
Yeah, I think there will be some new construction that will occur there. I don't have details on that yet, but that would be, this $135 million does include the cost of new facilities, and as well as the cost of pursuing the accreditations that they need and hiring of faculty and staff. And along with accreditation, they have to have a certain amount of money in escrow. So this would help meet that obligation as well out of that $135 million figure. But as you know, there's a shortage of in really all industries now, but it's especially acute in the medical industry, a shortage of all sorts of specialists and doctors and nurses. And this will really help address some of the shortage on the osteopathic medicine side here in Colorado.
Well, I know you had mentioned it, that this planning had been going on for quite some time, but 2025 sounds ambitious, doesn't it?
I think they've already got a lot of this has been in the works. I believe they announced this earlier this year. So they've been working on this for quite some time. And the UNC trustees just voted on the 12th, November 12th, to take the next steps. So they're going to be applying with the Commission on Osteopathic College Accreditation. They're going to hire the founding dean of the college, and the dean then would the dean would be hired after they receive their state authorization to proceed. So there's still, as I say, some regulatory approvals, some accreditation that has to be attained, but they feel that they can hit this this goal of having students in place here in just under 4 years.
Well, and I think this is going to contribute too. We've seen a lot of growth in Weld County in the Greeley area. That's got to attract more people this way.
Absolutely, yeah, and having a medical school there, I think, will be hugely important. You know, of course, Greeley UNC has turned out nurses for many years, and this takes it one step further, kind of building on that strength that has already been there for UNC.
Talking with Chris Wood, editor and publisher with Biz West, right now up on the hotline. Let's talk about this Flatiron Park. There was a mystery tenant that we had talked about. They've been identified.
We have identified them. We found a brochure. Flatiron Park is a very large business park in Boulder. They have about 2.3 million square feet in total. About a million of that is owned by Crescent Real Estate out of Texas. And we found an executive summary. Crescent is offering their space, 21 buildings out of 50-some in Flatiron Park, for sale. And in that brochure, in that executive summary, they refer to an undisclosed tenant that was a very prominent tech tenant that has committed to about 240,000 square feet. And we put two and two together and came up with four and identified that tenant as Apple. So, as you know, Apple's been kind of teasing the market here for a couple of years about expanding in the Boulder area. Last December, they gave a little more detail saying they would expand to 700 jobs, but they have been very silent on where that would be. We previously reported that they were in a smaller operation on Sterling Drive in Boulder. We have confirmed that they are this mystery tenant going that is already in one of the buildings in Flatiron Park and has signed a lease for another. And they will be taking another new building that Crescent is building there. So the other very significant piece of this is that we have also learned of the asking price for this Flatiron Park portfolio. And with Apple in hand, the sellers, Crescent Real Estate, is seeking, we have heard, in the range of $600 million to $650 million for this million-square-foot portfolio. That would be an enormous deal. And I reported yesterday how a buyer could justify that, because the rents are not high enough to really justify a price of that magnitude. But what some analysts, some brokers told me is that a buyer would likely sell this new building that Apple is going into with a 12.5-year lease at a very high rental rate. And that building could then be flipped perhaps for $1,000 a square foot to help essentially bring down the cost of the broader portfolio. So very significant deal. Nothing has been signed yet, of course. This is what the sellers are seeking. So we'll have to see what eventually happens there in terms of a sale. But we do now know for certain that Apple is in Flatiron Park and expected to grow there.
Chris, do you expect there to be a lot of interest about this right off the bat, or do you think with everything going on with the economy, some of those potential buyers could sit pat for a minute?
You know, I think there will be interest. Whether they'll get this high price, I don't know, but I think there will be great interest. There aren't a lot of large portfolios in Boulder of office space. And this park has a lot of technology companies like Apple. They also have a lot of laboratory space, which is in critically short supply along the Front Range. We've seen another park, the Pearl East Business Park, which in 2015 sold for $85 million. That has now sold twice since then, and the latest sale was $190 million. So it was 123% higher than it sold for just in 2015. So there is significant investor interest all around the country for commercial real estate, but we're seeing some very big deals here. We've seen the Ecton Johnson portfolio sell in both in along the Front Range in Louisville, and also more recently the two new buildings that they built in Loveland. Very significant. And the fact that Apple is in this park, the expectation is that the very fact that they're there and that they apparently have signed this new lease for 12.5 years at a high rate, that will enable any buyer of this portfolio to raise rates for all of those buildings Someone told me perhaps even $8 to $10 a square foot increase in rental rates that a buyer could get over time for that portfolio. So, I think there will be interest in that, and we'll just have to wait and see who a buyer might be and what the final price will be.
Yeah, that the numbers you're throwing out there are just insane, but some of the names that you're putting out there as well, also a little bit insane, and you can see why that demand is going to be there. Chris, let's talk overall big picture at the economy right now. It seems like, you know, inflation rates, things like that, it's got some people very nervous about when this could come to a grinding halt, but everything that you are reporting on right now seems like it's full steam ahead.
Yeah, in certain sectors it is. I think you're right, though. There is definitely concern about inflation. There's widespread supply chain issues through all aspects of the economy, and that is contributing to inflation. The question is, will this be a short-term blip on inflation? If the supply chain issues are worked out here over the next 6 to 12 months, will inflation then come back under control? Or will we need to see the Fed take more action and start hiking interest rates? And I think that there's definite concern out there. I think that whether we will see a slowdown as we saw during the early days of COVID, or going back to 2007 and 8, I don't know about that, of course, but. There's definitely concern in certain sectors, and it's the thing you hear every day is supply chain and labor shortage every day.
Every single day. That's on the 2021 bingo card, I'm pretty sure, for the key phrases that we're going to be looking back at when this year does wrap up. Chris, I appreciate your time as always. Thank you so much, my friend, and let me know when we need to go sample the new Bell's Brewery beer.
We'll have to do that. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right,
I appreciate
take care.
It. That's Chris Wood, editor and publisher with BizWest Magazine, joining us. If you're looking to do lunch today, you got meetings coming up, check out the tavern at St. Michael's Square. It is Taco Tuesday. They've got a ton of great options for you at the tavern at St. Michael's Square. Also, they are currently hiring for a bartender spot. So if you're looking to make some extra money, they've got daytime and some nighttime shifts available. It's a tavern at St. Michael's Square. Closing in on 10:53. Let's get a break. We'll come back on the other side with the headline that caught our eye. Wrap up this edition of NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Just a couple minutes left here. NoCo Now on a Tuesday morning. Let's dive right into it. Let's get to the headline that caught my eye.
Today we have a penguin found 1,800 miles from home on New Zealand beach.
That's a long road trip for that young penguin.
Yeah, all the way from Antarctica, from what the Kaikoura Wildlife Hospital said about the young penguin.
All right. He just maybe just needed a little bit of a break from people. I don't blame him. Do you blame him? Get away.
You're around your family 24/7. You got to get a break sometime.
Right.
Vacation.
And maybe that sounds like a start of a Disney movie. The little penguin that could, maybe.
I know. Don't give him ideas.
That's true. Trademark. I trademarked that idea. You can't do anything about it. I said it. Before we break for today, let's take a final look at the accessories with flair and hair poll question. Who's going to have the best basketball team this year? Right now, CSU leading at 38%, UNC with 37%, CU with 25%. So apparently the people agree with Angel Padilla. That's a dumb thing to do, folks. That's a dumb thing to do. Don't agree with him. You're going to be wrong. Let's see if I've got a producer tomorrow.
I'll cut your mic off right
now. Yeah, I was going to say, let's see if I've got a producer tomorrow. I may not. Clark and the Coach coming up next. The whole show 12 to 2, the Good Afternoon Guy 3 to 5 with Brian Gary. It's all coming your way right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA. For Angel Padilla, I'm Tanner Schwint. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday morning. Follow us along on NoCo Now on Facebook at NoCo Now. We will talk to you tomorrow.